Hello and welcome to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. I'm Peter Bean and I'll be your host. This is the third of our Drafted Canadians features, and today we'll talk to Tyler O'Neill, the second Canadian selected last week. He was drafted 85th overall by his favorite team, the Seattle Mariners. His slot value is $631,100. O'Neill signed with the Mariners this past week for $650,000, or $19,000 over slot. He ranked 63rd on Baseball America's Top 500 list and 84th on Perfect Game's Top 500 list. Tyler has been a member of the Canadian Junior National Team and played for the Langley Blaze of the British Columbia Premier League. He's often compared to another Blaze alumni, Brett Laurie. I believe after speaking to him, this comparison comes mostly from intensity. Tyler is confident and seems to thrive from challenges and competition. He was also likely brought up on these values, having a competitive bodybuilder and former Mr. Canada for a father. Strength is another big part of O'Neill's game, and another reason why scouts like Tom McNamara compared him to Laurie. He's built like a tank, which also happens to be his nickname. McNamara, the scout also responsible for drafting Brett Laurie by the Brewers, said of O'Neill, "He's a physical guy with a lot of strength. He's a very confident hitter." I spoke to Larry Stone of the Seattle Times about Tyler O'Neill and what the Mariners' intentions were for him.
In your article about Tyler and the other Mariners' draft pick, you use the word interesting to describe their pick of O'Neill. Why interesting?
Well, there was a lot of elements of his bio that kind of jumped out at me. He was from Maple Ridge, which immediately put the thought of Larry Walker into my head. There was a lot of comparables to Brett Laurie, who also came out of BC. I found that was interesting, and the fact that his dad was a Mr. Canada, you know, weightlifter or bodybuilder, you don't see that every day. So, and then the way he's kind of moved around from catcher to infield, and then the Mariners drafted him as an outfielder. It was just a little bit more meat there than you get with every prospect or every draftee. So I just seemed interesting to me.
Now, you spoke to the Mariners scout, Tom McNamara, about O'Neill. Can you tell me some of the things he had to say?
Well, he kind of embraced the comparison to Brett Laurie because Tom actually was in the Brewers organization when they drafted Laurie in the first round. So he thought that they were both, that their confidence kind of was comparable and their strength as hitters. And, you know, McNamara said that even though he caught they view him as a right fielder. They're not closing the door to catching, but they think that his path to the major leagues would be quicker without having to worry about all the mechanical and defensive intricacies of catching. So he is a guy that the Mariners, I think could progress pretty quickly because he has the one skill, the bat and the power bat that they really need in this organization. And they also have a need for outfielders, corner outfielders, so that's probably where he's going to end up, even though he could play corner infield even. If he clicks in the outfield, he can move pretty quickly.
Now, you attended a prospect batting practice recently that Tyler attended. What did you see there?
Well, they had a lot of their recent draftees come in and hit. They do this every year. Guys who have signed or are about to sign, they give them a few hacks before the major league team gets out there, and it's a nice opportunity for them to get a feel for Safeco Field, put on the uniform. You know, he had a uniform that said a Mariner uniform with O'Neill on the back, and I was impressed. A lot of these guys get in there, they're nervous, and they kind of pop the ball up, they hit weak grounders, they can't get it out of the infield. And Tyler, he reached the seats several times, was banging line drives all over Safeco, and looked pretty poised up there. I didn't get a chance to talk to him just because it was a very, there was family was there, and Mariners executives were kind of squiring them around, so it wasn't really a good chance to talk to him, but I did observe, and he was one guy that caught my eye out of the six or seven that were hitting.
Now, he's already signed. He released that on Twitter, I think it was a couple days ago now. Have you heard anything about how the contract negotiations went? Because that happened very quickly.
Yeah, they announced 13 signings yesterday. So obviously they, you know, these were guys who probably had agreed to either pre-draft deals or just wanted to get their careers going. And Tyler was, you know, I don't know what the dollar figure exactly is. Probably, I think it's a little bit over the third round slot figure from what I'm hearing. He's been assigned to Peoria, which is their sort of their Arizona League team. That's at least where he'll start at their complex in Peoria or Arizona, where they have spring training. Several of the recent signees are going to go there, and then I'd imagine that at some point they'll send him out to either Everett of the Northwest League or Pulaski of the Appalachian League. So, but he's going. His first professional stop will be Peoria, Arizona.
Looking at Tyler O'Neill's stats lines, they're worth repeating. Through the season's first half in the BCPL, Tyler had a 1.136 slugging percentage, a .576 batting average, 6 home runs, 17 extra base hits, and 47 RBIs. He only struck out 9 times, and all of this was in 59 at-bats. In a doubleheader against Victoria, he drove in 10 runs and was 4-for-4 in the first game, with 2 homers and 2 triples. In the second game, he hit a 2-run single in the second. The Blaze went to Arizona in March on a 23-day spring training exhibition tour, and O'Neill hit .714 with 5 home runs. When I spoke to him, he was very clear he loves to hit. He'll play anywhere as long as he can hit. My favorite answer in Tyler's interview was when I asked him what his favorite position on the field was, and he said the batter's box. He's got a sense of humor, and he's confident, well-spoken, and you can hear the excitement he has for the game when we talk about it. Let's listen to that interview now.
So I want to start at the beginning, when you were young. What's your first and your favorite childhood baseball memory?
Well, you know, I just always loved to hit the ball. It was always my favorite thing growing up. Usually didn't matter where we played, because back then it was just no set positions, you know. You go to the outfield here and there, you go to catch, you go to play infield. So it didn't really matter to me. So just the favorite part for baseball has always been hitting.
All right. Did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I played hockey, soccer, you know, a bit of rugby in high school too.
Was baseball always number one, or were there times that you were thinking you were going to play other sports?
Well, you know, my dad, he used to be a hockey player, so I loved hockey when I was a little kid. It was my favorite sport back then, but as the years kind of started to come on me, I realized that I had a better chance at baseball going professional than I did with hockey, so I started to stick to baseball.
When did you know that you were, like, a really good ball player? Like, when did you know that you were going to go for being drafted and becoming a major leaguer?
Well, I got hints of it later in my grade 11 year when I went to Arizona with the Blaze for our spring training trips. Doug Matheson, he got me some good exposure down there. He got a lot of guys to come see me. So it all became a possibility, I think, on that trip.
Now, who's the most influential person in your baseball life?
I'd say my coaches, Doug and Jimmy Bottle. You know, they all helped me out a great way. Obviously, like I said before, they brought a bunch of guys out to come see me, and I couldn't have done it without them. They really helped my stock this spring, and couldn't be more thankful for it.
All right, now growing up, who was your favorite baseball player?
Let's see. You know, I think it might have been Alex Rodriguez. You know, Yankees, obviously, they're the best team out there, I think. So I just like to follow them and see how they were doing, and it was always exciting when A-Rod came up to bat. So I think he was on the verge of breaking 500, 600 home runs. He was in there. You know, he was hitting really good, so it was always fun to watch him.
Do you compare yourself to him in any way?
No, I don't compare myself. I try not to compare myself to anybody. I've heard comparisons to Laurie. That's great, you know, but I try and be my own ball player, and you know, I try not to focus on comparisons.
All right, I want to ask about the Blaze. The program is very successful, obviously. A lot of great players have come out of there. Why do you think so? What is it about the Langley Blaze that cultivates such good ball players?
Well, like I said before, we get a lot of exposure when we go down for our trips in the USA. A lot of guys come to see us, and that's why we've had some good draft picks out of that organization. Laurie, Daglin, Lutz Gard, to name a couple. So that's really how we get our name on the board and get out there.
Now, what about the junior national team? What's it like putting on the red and white?
There's nothing better than that, that's for sure. I've wanted to do that ever since I was a kid. It's one of the greatest feelings.
What tournaments have you played in with them?
The Team Canada?
Yeah.
I haven't played in any tournaments. It's just a couple spring training trips. One was back in Fall Instructional League in October. We played there for about 10 days, and then in April we went to Florida again for another 10 days. And, it was all good competition, good ball playing, extended spring guys, because they're throwing pretty hard, and, it makes you try and have to tune up a little bit.
All right, through all these experiences, what's your best individual moment playing baseball?
And that's a tough one, I've had a lot of good pressure situations that I've strived in. I can't name one in particular, but that is tough. I can't name a certain spot in particular.
It's okay. When I was talking to Alan Simpson before the draft, he told me that you were the best hitter in the Canadian class this year. Tell me a little bit about your swing and your approach at the plate.
I used to mostly hit for contact, try and get the bat on the ball and put into the gaps when I was a little smaller kid. But last year, Doug had a talk with me after one of our games, and just told me to lay it all on the line, high risk, high reward swings. And, when you start swinging real hard as you can, then if you score a ball up, it's going to go a long way. So I started to do that in my 11th grade year. And, it's worked for me ever since.
All right, on the field, you've played shortstop and catcher. I was talking to Larry Stone of the Seattle Times, and he told me the Mariners were talking to you about being a right fielder. I want to know where you enjoy playing the most on the field.
I enjoy the batter's box. As long as I can hit and keep my bat in the lineup, that's my
best.
Exactly. It doesn't really matter to me.
All right.
And I think that's how they see it too, right? Is the outfield's kind of going to save my body from having to take all the pressure that a catcher has to take, all the hard work, block balls, all the catching training and extra work you got to do for that. They decided to just keep my body easy and play me in the field.
All right. This past year, what have you been working on improving?
A lot of strength, obviously, but a big one that a lot of guys told me to do is work on my flexibility. So I got into a lot of yoga a couple months ago leading up to the draft, and I'm going to continue it because it's definitely been helping me.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the draft.
All right, sounds good. Guys, it's 1, 2 friends that you're out at the
All right, talking about the draft, you were drafted by the Mariners, 85th overall, and just recently signed your contract. Did you get any strong indications from the Mariners before the draft that they were going to select you?
Yeah, we did. They were talking to my agent a lot. They were probably one of our top runners for teams. So I was hoping for it, being almost a hometown guy. We could drive down maybe a couple hours to go see their games at Safeco. That's what we did all the time as family when I was a little younger. And I've always loved them, so it's just a great place to be.
Yeah, it's got to be amazing being drafted by your favorite team.
Exactly. I hear stories about it all the time, hometown guys getting selected, but you don't really understand how it feels until it actually happens to you.
You went to a batting practice at Safeco recently, right?
Yeah, I've had a couple.
What's that like when walking out on that field?
Well, I try not to think of it too much. I try and image myself. I'm not one to get nervous, so I don't get nervous when I walk on the field. If anything, I get fired up and jacked up. It's just great seeing all the stands there and being in a big league tunnel and hitting them on a big league park. It's all fun.
Camps. you attended camps with the Astros, Diamondbacks, Mariners, Rangers. What kind of stuff goes on at these camps?
Well, it's mostly just camp to see your arm and how much power you have. So they usually it's just a quick infield, outfield to see how you read balls, fielding, and that sort of stuff, and BP to hit. I know the Astros, there was just quick innie outie and then some BP, and we were basically done. Same with Diamondbacks, except we had live pitching there. And the private one I had with Texas and Safeco, you know, it was just BP and a bit of fielding. That was it.
Now, you're the first Canadian I've spoken to since the draft that's actually signed their contract. Can you walk me through the process from, you know, after being drafted to putting the name to paper?
Yeah, for sure. You know, after we got drafted, I had Tom McNamara, scouting director for the M's, call me. He invited me down for a couple of days to Safeco to watch a couple games, and it was great, you know. Of course, we went and chilled there for a day, and then the second day, I had BP with the big league club, and then I went in to sign the papers, so it was a pretty good day.
I love the way you announced it on Twitter. That was great.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
Now, I read somewhere you missed the announcement of your pick because you were at your graduation.
I didn't miss it, actually. It was the pick was before my grad, about a half hour before I left.
So you got to watch it.
I did, yeah. It was pretty cool. I woke up at about 7:30. My agent told me that Mariners, we got to deal with them. So it was a good way to start the day. And then I sat down and watched TV for maybe about a half hour and saw my name called. You know, basically from there, got ready for grad and went.
That doesn't sound like it's going to be a while before that day gets topped.
Yeah, might be. We'll see.
Going back to pre-draft and just everything that you went through in the couple of years between making the decision to go for this and today, did you ever feel at a disadvantage being Canadian to all the other American kids?
Well, Americans, you know, they get a lot of exposure generally, but I'm on two top-of-the-line clubs, you know, the Langley Blaze and obviously Team Canada. We go down, we get a bunch of guys to come see us, and it's really beneficial.
What advice would you give to a kid in grade 10 kind of making the same decision that you're making and wanting to play college ball? Or
if you're going to go for it, then you got to go for it. You can't hesitate. You gotta really want it. You got to let nothing be in your way to get it.
Now that the process is over and it's done and you can relax, is there anything that stands out that you wished you knew when this all started that you know now?
No, I don't think so.
Nice. Went nice and smooth, eh?
Pardon me?
It basically sounds like it all went very smooth.
Yeah, it did. You know, it wasn't too many surprises, really. This spring, I rose my stock, and it kept rising. So, you know, that was a good sign. And, you know, there's nothing really to it. The draft is really unpredictable, so you can't predict where you're going to go or anything like that. And, you know, I'm not disappointed with anything.
So what happens next?
Well, I am assigned to the Arizona Summer League, so I'll be leaving for that after I'm officially done school. And I think I'm done next week, but we don't get our actual diplomas until July area, so I'm not 100% sure when I'm actually gone, but I'm ready for it.
And you're going to play right field?
Yep, I am going to be playing right field. It's going to be fun.
Hey, listen, thanks for being here.
Hey, Pete, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that's it for today's podcast. Coming up next week, we'll have Dan Blywiss back from the Ontario Blue Jays to talk more in depth about the four players recently drafted out of his program, as well as more interviews from players on the Canadian Baseball Network draft list. I'd like to thank Tyler O'Neill for coming on the show and wish him the best of luck in his start of his journey. As always, thanks goes out to Effective Business Video for our production and the Isotopes for their music. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CDN Baseball and like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast.